or KEY today.
Each and every show here on America Tonight, by now you're very familiar with this. We go to Washington to talk to the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Benny Martinez joins us this time around. Benny, I'm not going to hold it against you that you're a Cowboy fan, by the way.
Kate, we have a history on this, and you and I both know that the Cowboys are going to come back and win the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
Please. You know what? He's like Newt Gingrich's chances of being president, the Cowboys' chances are of winning the Super Bowl, and Tony Romo becoming an elite quarterback. You got to come on. Reality has to set in.
I refuse to believe any reality that it has a negative connotation with the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, whatever you say. We seg from sports into politics, which is very much like sports, as you know. And the president is doing this jobs bus tour, and he's getting knocked around by the Republicans because they're saying, look, he's campaigning, he's campaigning. What have you heard as far as the criticisms on that? I heard Senator McCain was really trying to level him on it.
Yeah, I mean, Senator McCain came out today and essentially said that his bus tour is flat out wrong. And he was speaking on the floor of the Senate and essentially just saying, that the president is not using this to push his jobs bill, as the president has said, but rather using it to put himself back in the public light. Excuse me. And, you know, with the election season, just, you know, we're in the thick of it essentially right now. So the president's been battered around here on the Hill. Meanwhile, though, he's doing what he said he was going to do. He's on a bus tour through a couple of key electoral states, North Carolina and Virginia. He started yesterday and continues his trip on into tomorrow, where he's now pushing for Congress to pass his jobs bill in pieces. As we know, the Senate voted down the jobs bill in its entirety. Now he's saying, okay, well, let's look at these individual provisions. And let's pass them one by one. And the president's motive behind this method is that if these provisions get brought up piece by piece, essentially the naysayers, those who oppose these provisions, will have less of a reason to, I guess. You know, so he wants to understand why they're opposing each specific provision. And what he wants to do is essentially let the public know why these senators and representatives are opposing, specific pieces of legislation. You know, it's a well-thought-out idea. Whether it's being effective or not, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, it is definitely a completely different story on that front. But, hey, if you can't push the whole thing through, then parcel it out and see what happens there. And I think in the back of their minds, they probably had that theory running all along.
Yeah,
but we're waiting to see.
I would absolutely agree with you in the notion that they knew it wasn't going to pass in its entirety. I mean, rarely anything does pass in its entirety these days.
Sure.
So they were expecting this. And I think the first of the many provisions of this jobs bill to get voted on is actually a federal bill that will put, what Democrats say will put firefighters and teachers and construction workers back to work. And they're going to pay for this with a 0.5% tax on income earners making more than $1 million. That's their way of paying for that specific provision. So, you know, obviously Republicans are not going to like the tax increase, regardless if it's, 0.5% on income earners making more than $1 million. But that seems like where they're going to start now in the Senate. Chuck Schumer came out today and made mention of that.
Yeah. So let's move to the Republicans, of course, another debate. Everyone's going to be there except for John Huntsman, the former governor of Utah. But I'm wondering, from the Washington point of view, when you have these many debates week after week or spaced out a couple of weeks or whatever, and Nevada's an important state because of the high unemployment and how disenfranchised people feel there, I think it's going to be a swing state for sure in 2012. How much is this talked about among Democrats and even some Republicans? The next day when you go and you try to and you're talking to people, is everybody talking about the debate or now they're focused on other things?
It depends. Specifically for this Nevada debate, I would argue that people are kind of have it on a back burner. One reason mainly is because it's the last in a rapid fire series of five debates that took place this fall. So you know, people, I believe, but I actually, I will mention that I believe a higher number of people tuned into the debate because of the rise, the sudden rise of Herman Cain in the national polls. You know, his whole 999 plan, as catchy as it is actually resonating in some areas of the country, and people are starting to wonder, you know, exactly what does it do? You know, at first it was just a catchphrase, you know, 999 this, 999 that, but now people are trying to understand what 999 means. And I think, you know, that definitely livened up the debate.
Yeah, I agree with you. Benny Martinez, Talk Radio News. We'll talk about the Cowboys in the future. Or maybe not.
Maybe not, Kate.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so coming up here on America Tonight, of course, we're going to let you hear some of the sounds of what happened in Vegas. And this time around, there were a lot of tempers that flared. That's how I would describe it. You had Perry and Romney that were tangling, although that's not necessarily something that's new, but they really went after each other. And then the rest of the bunch, too, also being pretty critical, especially about health care and going after Romney. Then you had Michelle Bachmann talking about that everybody should pay some taxes. So there was that tax tug of war that actually went on among the Republicans. That's coming up here in a couple of minutes on the show. But before we get to that, let me set the stage for you as well. I'm going to introduce you to somebody at the bottom of the hour who used to be a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this guy, he goes off, dives into technology, starts a company, and he's the CEO of this company that's combining all kinds of things to work on the brain, basically. And it's fascinating stuff. I mean, he talks about the fact that he saw what he saw when he was in the game, when he was pitching and got out in his 20s, and looked at what the future would mean for some, those with Alzheimer's, those with Parkinson's, that kind of stuff. And wait till you hear this discussion. Also, our man from Hollywood, Stephen Shohat, will be with us. And Stephen will continue the conversation about baseball movies. We're going to talk about The Natural and Eight Men Out. We thought it'd be fun since we do have the World Series, after all, coming up on Wednesday between St. Louis and the Texas Rangers. So we'll do that at the tail end of the hour. And before we get to that, of course, we'll break down what happened in this latest Republican debate. Also, the president moves forward and presses that job bill on the bus tour, as that's now in its final day. Also, on top of that, you have the president announcing that the Fast and Furious culprits will be punished. What does that mean? Does that mean that Eric Holder is fair game? Does that mean he'll get a pink slip? I don't think so. I think what Obama meant when he talked to Jake Tapper of ABC, and the quote was, people who screwed up will be held accountable. I think it means, once again, the lower people on the rung. It's not going to go all the way up to the attorney general. Because now you have the fourth Republican congressman calling for Holder's resignation. And it's not going to happen. I mean, somebody in the higher echelons of the government had to know about the gun running. They had to know it. You can't tell me they didn't. So we'll talk about that as well. Hang with us. More from Vegas next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Speaking of shaking it up, that's what I was doing actually there on the sideline, a little sidebarring, getting all of this together from Vegas. Crazy, crazy time in Vegas when you think about, of all the places, by the way, to hold a debate, except for the fact that, listen, Nevada is going to be a swing state. There's no question about it. When you look at the unemployment rate, almost at 15%, it is open territory, wide open territory, because this is a state that easily went to Obama in 2008, but 2012, much different story. So let's jump right to it and hear a little bit of snippet of what went on in yet another one. How many of these debates have we had now? It's like six. So this was big. The big thing, once again, was going after Mitt Romney, who is governor of Massachusetts and instituted mandatory health care. So, of course, an argument ensues with Rick Santorum, Mitt Romney, and Rick Perry in the middle of it. Check it out.
It's not what you're saying.
You're shaking your head. It's in your book. It should be for everybody. Governor, let me speak. Rick, you had your chance. Let me speak. Somebody better speak. They're talking on top of each other. Do you hate that or what? So Romney really was deflecting that through most of the time on the stage. Then you move to Rick Perry, who Perry talked about something that's on everyone's mind every single day these days, taxes. And what is Rick Perry talking about? Bringing up the two F words. Check it out.
Go to New Hampshire where they don't have a sales tax and you're fixing to give them one. They're not interested in 999. What they're interested in is flatter and fair.
All right, he's got the 2F plan, flatter and fairer. And when it comes to Ron Paul, the congressman from Texas, he never pulls any punches. This is what I like about this guy. What he's saying now, he said 10 years ago. And if it wasn't popular then, it doesn't matter. He sticks by what he says. And I think that's why in his district he gets reelected, because whether people agree with everything he says or not, they like the fact that his word is his word, and he doesn't go back on it. Here he's talking about the military.
We have more weapons than all the other countries put together, essentially, and we want to spend more and more, and you can't cut a penny? I mean, this is why we're at an impasse. I want to hear somebody up here willing to cut something.
All right, willing to cut something. And, boy, we got to cut a lot. According to Ron Paul, that's the deal. I mean, time to get out a few axes, not just one, and just chip away at everything and really reduce the size of the government. And this is the continuing theme. Now, another thing that was a big issue was immigration. While I think the problem of illegal immigration coming up in this election is not the top shelf deal, not on the top shelf of what the politicians ultimately want to talk about, especially anybody in office now. Because believe it or not, there's definitely people who are disenfranchised with what the president has done, which is nothing when it comes to the immigration problem. So the Republicans are duking it out over a border fence. They're talking about the fence. We're back to that again. Because Michelle Bachmann threw this zinger out during the debate. She said she would build a double fence along the southern border, double fence. She said the country spends $113 billion every year to pay for people in the country illegally, to give benefits to the illegals. Ron Paul, from Texas again, where that fence would definitely run, said, look, fence is not the answer. It's not the answer. And Rick Perry, the governor, agrees with him of the same state. Mitt Romney said a fence would help, but the way to cut illegal immigration is to end benefits for them, echoing pretty much what Michelle Bachmann was also saying, because she was saying, on the other hand, it's the benefits thing. So this was an easy thing to level Perry with, because there was a jab at Perry, who signed a law that, of course, you know, that gets my blood boiling, that gives in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. And the reason why is because what about those kids that kill themselves working their way through the latter part of high school to try to get as much money as they can to go to school? They get nothing. They're not getting that. They had decent grades, but they didn't get the 5 scholarships that were available at UT, for example. So tough tiddlywinks. Too bad they weren't born to people who are in the country illegally. Otherwise, they would get that tuition break, too. So I agree. I mean, that's an easy layup to go after Perry on that. Now, Perry says you have to do it because you have to embrace the people. And how do you make things better? You do that by educating the ones who deserve to be educated. And even there, that's pretty dicey. Also, because Romney was taking such a hit on health care, and Perry was taking a hit on the tuition and the illegals, Perry turned that around and said that Romney's not telling the truth. He said that he had, when he said he'd never hired illegal immigrants to work on his property, Romney said he never hired an illegal immigrant in his life. And they went back and forth, as you heard there, talking about, like in that last exchange, talking about the idea of the illegal immigrant and whether or not he had hired any ever. And, of course, Perry was referring to some of those nasty reports that started to surface in 2008 that several illegal immigrants, including one from Guatemala, worked for a company that handled lawn care at his house in Boston for a decade. See, that's what it's easy to think on the surface that you haven't done that. But then if somebody digs deeper, well, you're paying XYZ to this company, and guess what? They have people who are in the country illegally doing your lawn. So that's where they were able to tap him on that. But they were able to do that 4 years ago or 3 years ago. They were able to do that to Romney then. And that kind of got, I think, pushed underneath the surface a little bit. So he was aware that he was going to have to answer that and it was going to come up. But it's interesting the timing of it. And part of the reason the immigration question came up in the first place, the illegal immigration question came up, is because of a report that came out that showed that the United States deports a record number of illegals. 400,000 people in 2011, more than ever before, according to ICE. Immigration and Customs, they've released those statistics. So under the Obama administration's focus of deporting illegals who have committed crimes, more than half of the people, the number I just said, have been convicted of felony or misdemeanor crimes. So that's a 90, check this out, that's a 90% increase in the number of criminals deported over those in 2008, 90%. That's how big that number has moved. So are they making progress? Is it just the criminal element? What's going on along the borders? What about the egregious immigration law breakers? The ones that come over and over and over and over and over, are they getting them? So Chuck Grassley, the ranking guy on the Senate Judiciary Committee, said that he plans to ask Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary, who's supposed to appear before the committee on Wednesday, about some of the new policies and whether or not they're really pushing the envelope, or is this more about a show and tell for re-election? Coming up, we're talking about science with a guy who used to be a former pitcher in the bigs. What a switching careers.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and of course all the nooks and crannies in between. Nanotechnology, science fiction, talking about man and machine melding the two. Remember, we had that book giveaway, Robopocalypse, and we talked about what the future was going to look like. Well, a very important part of the future includes neurotechnology. And when you think of what's happening with the brain, I mean, you think of some of the advances, but some of the things that could really explode and really happen when we're talking about stuff like Parkinson's, for example. I know I've mentioned this story on the air. I had a college roommate, his father, just brilliant, ran this super successful company that he started from the ground up, and then he was leveled with Parkinson's, and it was so hard to watch him. And they had access to at the time, you know, 15 years ago, they had access to some of the best technology available, but still he couldn't do anything for him, so to speak, as far as what was going on with his brain. So there are a myriad of things that are being tackled right now. One of the guys who's working on that is Will Rossellini. He's the CEO of Microtransponder. It's a Dallas-based research company, and they're really pushing the line as far as neurotechnology is concerned. Hey, Will, thanks for coming on ATN.
Thanks for having me.
So let's wind the clock back here for a second and talk about your story. It's got to be exciting. You know, I just talked about Parkinson's, and I know some other people who have struggled with that. What specifically, when you set out and you came up with Microtransponder, what specifically were you trying to do?
Well, kind of an interesting approach to how I got where I was. I used to be a right-handed pitcher with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So as a professional athlete, I saw people at the top of their field maximizing both their strength, but then more importantly, maximizing their mental capabilities to harness that strength for athletic performance. I also saw the use of steroids and understood that the body has a lot more capability than perhaps we might expect, you know, looking at a Babe Ruth type figure 80 years ago. So after my pro career ended, I was 23 years old, and I said, I'm really interested in this idea of how the nervous system works and how we could manipulate the nervous system to either restore patients that have neurological diseases. We all have family members that have Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, et cetera, or how we could make the nervous system better. And in that case, the military was working on a lot of different projects that were very interesting. So take-home point, had the time and resources to spend a lot of time in graduate school. I didn't want to be the scientist. I wanted to be the person that was able to translate these academic discoveries into products for patients at the bedside. And so in 2006, after I'd done 6 graduate degrees, so a law degree, MBA, 3 advanced science degrees, and I'm currently working on a PhD in neuroscience, I found a professor that had the technology that I wanted to commercialize. So we started Microtransponder in 2007 to do just that.
Wow. And before we go even there, you've all these degrees that you've gotten, when you talk to some of the guys that you played with and they say, hey, Will, what's going on? What are you doing? And you tell them that, are they just silent and just shocked by what you've gone into?
Well, you know, it's really funny. So the World Series is on now, and I was very good friends with Matt Holliday, who's one of the power hitters for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I was roommates with Jose Valverde, whose nickname was Crazy Face, with the Diamondbacks. He was the closer for the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
And while I would say that the sort of book intelligence, you know, athletes aren't known for, you know, academics, et cetera, what you will find is that their understanding of the human body, their understanding of the science behind what they're doing is extraordinary. And so whereas I was maybe unusual in my ability to be academic, in terms of neurophysiology, these guys were sort of top of the line, and we spent a lot of time thinking about some of the problems that we're currently working on today at Microtransponder. So whereas they'd be surprised that I had so many degrees, I think they'd be surprised how much they probably understood it at an intuitive level about how the body works.
Yeah, no kidding. With the company, of all the things that you're starting to discover, I mean, you finally found the right guy to pull into your organization, and you're looking at, as you said, Alzheimer's is something that affects so many people, Parkinson's, which I mentioned and you mentioned as well. What are you most excited about that you've been able to do, that you've been able to work with, and you feel like you're going to have some success with?
You know, we started with a couple of tenets of what we wanted to do. And the first thing was wires break in the body. So the body's a really hard place to make electronics work. And then two, the brain is hard. So we wanted to stay out of directly manipulating the brain with these implants. So what we were working on was a government project where the government said, we want to have soldiers that have come back from Iraq that have had an amputation from a roadside bomb or some other injury. We want to give them a fully functioning arm, a robotic prosthetic, and we want to plug that arm into the remaining nervous system. So our group was tasked with making tiny wireless devices that could both stimulate the remaining nerves to give information back to the brain and also give information to the prosthetic limb and receive information from that limb. So this project is sort of considered very science fiction. In fact, you know, Luke Skywalker had this in Return of the Jedi as
yeah.
the Luke arm. And in 2012, there'll be probably an FDA-approved product with these prosthetic limbs. Just really fascinating technology. So we're interested in taking those wireless devices that help communicate with the prosthetic limbs and turning them into devices that would help with chronic migraine or urinary incontinence. So one of the areas that we will put our devices is in the back of the head. And the way that they work is they harvest electrical energy from magnetic fields. And since the nervous system communicates using electrical energy, we put new patterns of electricity into these nerves and basically hijack the signal to the brain. So instead of a nerve saying, I'm hurting, we interrupt that signal and say, go numb, and the pain goes away.
Wow. And imagine you hit a home run with this. And how many people that can help? Because as you know, I don't have to tell you, you've obviously done the research. When you talk about even the amputees coming back, it's the most that we've seen really since the Civil War, and where they didn't have any of the technologies to help, and many of the guys died on the battlefield. Now you have so many people coming back. How many people could be helped by this? Will, certainly you know that. Literally, it's limitless, because
yeah.
I think there's so many that are suffering when they come back and they're trying to figure out how to pull it all together. If this implant really helps the neurotransmitters, can you just imagine?
Yeah, they say that, you know, and unfortunately when you're looking at unmet needs, there's very large unmet needs in the soldier population. But one of the reasons is because the armor has gotten so much better that soldiers aren't dying as frequently. They're coming back much more injured. One of the areas that we're most excited about is taking our device and stimulating the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the nerve running on the left side of your neck, and vagus is Latin for wandering. And by wandering, I mean about 20% of the fibers go to your stomach and your heart, and 80% go up to your brain. The reason we have this nerve is back in the days of being a caveman, when you were walking around the woods hunting and you saw a big bear that could have killed you, the vagus nerve sends some energy down to your heart that says speed up, and send an instruction to your gut that says don't be hungry now, we're about to have to fight or run. But 80% of the energy goes to your brain that says don't forget there's a bear in this area of the woods. And if your brain didn't make that memory, you were a dead caveman. What we're doing is manipulating that same process, the learning and memory process inherent within that vagus nerve, to reprogram the brain if you've had an injury. So one of the areas we're working in, and the biggest complaint or biggest issue in soldiers coming back from Iraq, is something called tinnitus. So up to 2 million patients per year in the United States have this just enormous ringing in their ears that never goes away.
Mm.
Previously, they tried to treat it by cutting the auditory nerve, so basically the nerve that goes from your ear to your brain. But snipping that nerve didn't make any difference. So what they found was that the brain is causing the noise, and it has nothing to do with the peripheral system. What we're doing is we're manipulating the system that created that memory or that noise in the brain, and by stimulating the vagus nerve, we alter the neurotransmitter soup, so to speak, and open up a window of learning or plasticity. And in that window, you're very, very likely to remember and learn the rehabilitation that you're getting. So what we've seen in our clinical trials to date is that method is very effective in alleviating the symptoms of tinnitus. We expect to start a clinical study to alleviate the symptoms of stroke next year. And stroke would be the same idea, basically relearning how to use the lost function in the arm or the leg.
Wow, amazing. We could talk to you all day long. Before we let you slide, we got to ask you this question, though. I'd be remiss. I can't wait to find out where this all goes in 20 years, by the way. But you talked about Matt Halliday and, of course, St. Louis and the Texas Rangers. You got to be careful here, Will. Even though you were an ex-ball player, you live in Dallas, and Dallas has exploded with the Texas Rangers. So who do you think wins this series?
Yeah, I think that I'm really pulling for the Rangers, which – I've been out of the game long enough now that I can pull for a team, and it's not like a job. But I'm really excited about the Rangers because it just seems like as a team they've come together and they really deserve to have this happen, mostly because I'm a huge fan of Nolan Ryan. And as soon as he bought the team and started to become a part of it, they just sort of became successful. And so I'm really rooting for him to be successful over the long term.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch to see what happens with micro transponder, too, as well. You're doing some fascinating things there. Will, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
I really appreciate it, Kate.
You can't argue with success, and many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products, like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. or human growth hormone support, menopause specialist for women, and joint specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Things sure turned out different.
In what way?
Different. For 16 years, I've lived with the idea that I could have been the best in the game.
You're so good now.
But I could have been better. I could have broke every record in the book.
And then?
And then when I walked down the street, people would have looked and they would have said, "There goes Roy Hobbs. The best there ever was in this game."
All right, that's a clip from The Natural. I like that movie. Robert Redford, Glenn Close, and a host of others. We're doing our baseball thing with Stephen Shohet, our man in Hollywood. He comes on this show each and every week with us, and we feel so fortunate because he is the ultimate storyteller. Hey, how are you doing, Steve?
Hey, very good. How are you, Kate?
Did you like The Natural?
I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, it's predictable, and Glenn Close, even though she got nominated, was complaining that her character wasn't really a person, that she wasn't free to do what she wanted to do with the character on camera. But I think it was presented as a myth. I really enjoyed the book by Bernard Malamud, and there's a lot of baseball is a myth type of things, magical things that happen in it. The book is far more negative, actually. And they have these characters like the Whammer, who's clearly based on Babe Ruth. They have the thing, I could have been the best in the game, or I want to walk down the street and people say I was the best there ever was, which was based on Ted Williams. So there were there was also the of course the old White Sox throw the World Series thing you know, coming into the story as well. And that's what happens in the book. They don't win. And Roy Hobbs does not succeed. And then, of course, when you make the movie with Robert Redford, it becomes a different issue. The audience wants Robert Redford to succeed, or at least they felt that he did. Robert Redford described it as Casey at the bat, except in our version, Casey's going to hit the home run and win. And I don't think I'm giving too much away, because one thing about that movie, whenever that Randy Newman music would come up, you knew there was going to be the ball was going to be hit out of the park and cause all sorts of property damage too. So I think it was pretty predictable in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny too that lines from that movie still creep up, and you have the Texas Rangers this year in the World Series, as you know, and forever they played that that thing from The Natural, that little theme, constantly every time someone hit a home run. They just recently, this past season, stopped it, but that also triggered in people's minds the natural reaction, if you will, that there was a home run being hit. So I think that movie struck a chord with a lot of people, Stephen.
Yeah, and I think even though a lot of the movie was made in Buffalo, and they used an old stadium there for it, it's still a Hollywood movie, and you still have Hollywood people, and you have Robert Redford, who played baseball at Van Nuys High School. And I think that for the filmmakers, the thing that really struck them was 4 years later, when Kirk Gibson hit the home run in Dodger Stadium to win the World Series Game 1 against the Oakland A's, where he was limping around the field. I think that's what they related to. And Redford was a really good baseball player, actually. The only thing I thought is it's the same thing they do with Pride of the Yankees. They have him play the character as a young guy. I mean, he's 46 years old. They're having him playing. You know, when he's a rookie, when he's supposed to be like 18 or 19 or something. And that's the only thing I think they could have done differently. And a lot of people didn't like the movie. I mean, like Roger Ebert didn't like it, said it was, you know, Redford idolatry rather than a baseball movie with real characters. And you can't really argue with that. It is absolutely meant to be a fairy tale based on some bigger than life baseball events, including a player from the Philadelphia Phillies named Ed Waitkiss, who was shot by a lady named Ruth Ann Steinhagen because she wanted him, and if she couldn't have him, nobody could have him. And he lived, luckily, although he retired from the game shortly after that and was understandably afraid to go out in public. And of course, that's blended into the Roy Hobbs story. The other thing that happens in the book constantly is whenever Roy Hobbs does something, somebody close to him dies, and they had to sort of play that down and not make it so negative in the movie.
Yeah. And definitely worth a rental. If you're a baseball person, it's worth picking that up, I think, for sure. Going through all these baseball movies, as somebody who loves the great game of baseball, it was fun to go back. Even for me, I re-racked all of them and watched them since we were talking about this. And I re-watched again Eight Men Out, and I have a definite appreciation for that movie. I love, love, love the young Hollywood guys in this, like John Cusack, who's always been one of my favorites anyway. And then you have Charlie Sheen in this. You got a cast of characters in this. And this was made, when was this made? In the late 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, 1988, 4 years after The Natural, and again by Orion Pictures, the same company that made Bull Durham, they were always giving filmmakers a chance. And John Sayles had been working on that script for 8 years. And yeah, I thought it was a great movie, too. Now, it's criticized by a lot of people for not having a real central character. I mean, it seems like John Cusack, the Buck Weaver character, is kind of the central character, but a lot of people want D.B. Sweeney, Joe Jackson, to be the central character, and he's really sort of on the periphery of that movie. And in real life, he confessed to doing it, but there was still an issue as whether or not he was in on the fix. He played actually pretty well in that series, but it's a very complex story. I mean, it covers a lot of different elements. The one thing they have, the pitcher who was the key person to throw the series, Eddie Seacott, who won 29 games that year for the White Sox, and then was supposedly upset because they benched him before he could win his 30th game. Well, according to the fact finders, he actually agreed to the fix after he won 29 games. So there are some things, some small things that they changed with that story. But it's so wild what was happening back then. I mean, according to the writer, Elliot Asimov, who wrote the book Eight Men Out, that people in the bleachers of baseball games back then, gamblers, actually had shotguns. And if an outfielder was coming to make a catch that would ruin their bet, they were not above firing them onto the field and intimidating the players from catching them. Now, that's hard to believe when you just sit here and think about it, but you know, according to the historical writer who covered it, that's what he said. So I mean, it was definitely a lot of stuff was going on with gambling back then, and the one thing was, after it happened, the White Sox, whether they were in on the fix or weren't in on the fix, they wouldn't talk about it. I mean, you know, Elliot Asimov tried to interview the players, and the catcher Ray Schalk. He became a baseball coach at Purdue. He threw Asimov out of his office. I mean, the other players didn't want to talk about it. Chick Gandel, the first baseman played by Michael Rooker in the movie, denied that. He said, "We talked about a fix, but we never did it." Although he supposedly distributed the funds among the players when they started collecting from gamblers. But anyway, it's just a fascinating story.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we have just a couple of moments left, but a big Hollywood agent passed away who touched a lot of lives.
Yeah, that was Sue Mangers. She was kind of a bombastic person in real life, and she admitted it. I mean, when she started off as an agent, she used to do things to get attention, like she'd walk up to a movie star's table and drop her card right in their soup, or yell at Ryan O'Neill at a party, "When are you going to fire your bleepity bleep agent?" Or pull by Burt Lancaster in a car and open up her window and say, "Why don't you hire me? And I'll represent you." And she just was in with so many stars, and she got them tremendous salaries. And sometimes she would make up stories. "Oh, my client had an offer for another movie," but it wouldn't be true. She'd do that to intimidate producers. Her big client, the one she really cared about, was Barbara Streisand, and they were best friends. And then Barbara Streisand left her, apparently because Sue Mangers was not happy about Barbara Streisand being in Yentl, and Barbara Streisand was not happy that she agreed to be in a movie written by Sue Mangers' husband called All Night Long, which didn't do very well. And after Streisand left her, Mangers was never really happy, according to a lot of people, and felt totally betrayed,
wow.
I don't know if totally betrayed is the right word, but did not feel good about this being an agent. And
yeah,
it was also
and that was it, and that was one of the big stories, of course, about Sue Menger. Hey, we're out of time. Stephen Schohead, as always, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much, buddy.